Yeah, it's a very strange law. It's both silly and dangerous at the same time. It's silly because we're in the 21st century and blasphemy is essentially a medieval religious law that has no place in this criminal law of a modern republic. But it's also a dangerous law because it incentivizes religious outrage. And outside of Ireland, at the United Nations level, the Islamic states have been trying to make blasphemy or defamation of religion a crime internationally. And they have now adopted the wording of the Irish law in their attempts to make this a crime internationally.
This law is controversial in itself, but it's also important to know how it came about. So can you tell us what were the reasons for such a law to be enforced?
The official reason is that the Irish Constitution, which was written in 1937, at a time when Ireland was a very Catholic and conservative country, has a clause in it saying that blasphemy is an offence which shall be punishable in accordance with law. Now, that law did originally reside in a Defamation Act that was passed in the 1960s, but it was never enforced and was only attempted to be enforced once, and in that case the courts found that the law could not be operated because it didn't define what the offence consisted of. Now, in recent years, that Defamation Act was being updated, and as part of that, the Minister for Justice had the option of seeking a referendum to remove the constitutional clause about blasphemy from the Constitution, or just leaving the law as it was, or introducing a new law that would be enforceable. And that was the option that he went for. He decided to introduce a new blasphemy law that would be enforceable, unlike the previous one.
So why didn't the government decide to get rid of this article in the Constitution?
It's hard to tell. I mean, it is the logical thing to do. And there have been, in recent decades, several all-party parliamentary committees examining the Constitution who have made just that recommendation, that we should be removing the blasphemy clause from the Constitution, just as we should be removing some other clauses from the 1930s that are still there. For example, in Ireland, in order to become President of Ireland, or in order to become a judge in Ireland, you have to swear a religious oath asking God to direct and sustain you in your work, and that oath is contained in the Constitution as well. So there are a number of anachronistic clauses in our Constitution that we should be getting rid of, and I'm surprised that the government did not choose to do that, because I think it's what the electors would want.
When you mention the voters, what's the public opinion in Ireland regarding this law?
There's virtually no support for the law, and indeed in recent days, when I've been doing a lot of radio interviews, both at home and internationally, the media are finding it hard to find somebody else to go on the programme saying that they support the law. The Catholic Church has certainly lost all of its moral authority that it used to have in Ireland with the revelations that they have been sexually abusing children in institutions and covering it up over the years. The Protestant churches in Ireland tend to be quite liberal, and the smaller churches tend not to get that involved in political debate. So there's certainly no clamour for this law, and people are generally confused as to why the government thinks it's a priority to bring in such a law in the 21st century.
I think the real meaningful point of this law, this debate around this law, is actually the role of religion in modern society. How do you comment, in which direction is the Irish modern society going by accepting this kind of law?
Well, I think that the Irish electorate are well ahead of the Irish government on these issues. We are, broadly speaking, a largely secular, pluralist society. People do accept that the Catholic Church should not be influencing the laws to the extent that it used to in the past. And what needs to happen now is that the government and the laws need to catch up with the progress that has been made by society generally. And we need to have a secular constitution, we need to have a secular education system, and we need generally to have a secular society where the laws reflect the reality of a pluralist state.
It seems like you in the atheist Ireland are very much against the religious fanatics. Why is that? After all, they are an inexhaustible source of amusement.
They certainly are in some cases. It does tend to go in a different direction, though, when, for example, they're flying airplanes into buildings or trying to murder cartoonists or covering up the rape of children for decades, as the Catholic Church has done.
This law evidently won't be an instrument that would prevent such actions.
Well, this law should, what of course a freedom of expression law should do, is it should permit people to communicate openly. It should permit people to challenge ideas in whatever way they wish, robustly, including ridicule if people feel that that is the case. What the law should do is it should protect people rather than ideas. It should protect people from crime. It should protect people from incitement to directly harming them. But it shouldn't be protecting ideas. Religious ideas should have exactly the same protection as scientific ideas or political ideas or ideas in any other sphere, which is that they stand on their own two feet and they're discussed rationally and reasonably, and people come to their own conclusions on it rather than being told what you can and cannot say about them.
The Atheist Ireland reacted to the enforcement of this law by posting 25 blasphemous quotes on your website. Was this provocation? Are you expecting any fines, maybe?
Well, what it is really is an attempt to test what the state is going to do with regard to this law. There are two possibilities. Either we will be prosecuted, and if we are, we will challenge the constitutionality of the law. We will challenge that it is incompatible with other freedoms and rights that we have in the Constitution. If we're not prosecuted, then that strengthens the case for the law to be repealed, because if there is a law on the books and it isn't being enforced, then there is no point in it being there. It just brings the entire legal system into disrepute.
There was also a foundation of the Church of Dermatology based on the name of the Justice Minister, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Dermot Ahern. Is your organization in any way connected to this newly founded church?
Yes, there would probably be an overlap of membership. It was a church that was founded called the Church of Dermatology. It worships Dermot Ahern. It believes that Dermot Ahern created the world. It believes that that ice cream wafers are literally the body of Dermot Ahern, and it believes that it is blasphemous to publish cartoons of Dermot Ahern. So the Church of Dermatology, if this law persists, will be outraged whenever those sacred beliefs are offended, and we will be asking to have the blasphemy law enforced for the Church of Dermatology, just as much for Christianity or Islam or any other religion.
Is it possible, for example, to get enough potential members, found your own church, register it formally, and that one of your religious principles is that, for example, the written word is blasphemous, and that if anybody writes anything, it causes outrage amongst your members, and therefore you can sue everybody who writes?
Yeah, well, you're quite right. It shows how absurd the law is, because what the law says is if a blasphemy is a matter that is grossly offensive or abusive in relation to matters held sacred by any religion. Now, it doesn't define what a religion is, although it does have a kind of strange clause, which I think is attempting to stop Scientologists, who are quite litigious, from taking blasphemy cases. There's a clause added in at the last minute saying that a religion does not count as a religion under this law if its primary purpose is to make profits, or if it uses oppressive psychological techniques to get or keep members. So it shows the difficulty. Once you start making laws about vague notions such as religions, you're going to get into trouble, because anybody can start a religion, anybody can have any set of sacred beliefs, and why should one set of beliefs be given more protection than another?
What you mentioned about the Scientology Church equally goes for a Roman Catholic Church, wouldn't you say?
I would certainly say so myself, yeah. I think if you look at the Vatican and the amount of money that the Roman Catholic Church has there, and if you look at the teaching two young children before they reach the age of reason, when they're at a very impressionable age, teaching them that they're going to burn in hell if they do or don't do certain things that they're told to do, you could certainly describe that as oppressive psychological techniques.
It's interesting that such a law is being enforced at a time when the Irish Catholic Church, which is, I suppose, the biggest religious group in Ireland, is being under a lot of pressure because of its scandals regarding the abuse of young boys.
It is. It's astonishing that that in the context of the Roman Catholic Church having been shown to have both abused and raped children over a period of decades, both in institutional schools and also by individual priests in various dioceses. And not only that, which is behaviour by individuals, but the various inquiries into it have concluded that the abuse was systematic and consistent across institutions, and that the Roman Catholic Church as an institution had actively covered up this abuse and this rape. It's astonishing in that context that the government feels that the most important issue relating to religion for it to legislate for is to bring in a blasphemy law.
What are going to be your next steps? I'm asking you as a representative of this group called Atheist Ireland and as a representative of the public that is opposing such a law. What actions are you going to take?
What we're going to be doing next is convening a series of meetings, some public meetings, some private meetings, where we will be trying to create a wider coalition of both Atheist Ireland and other organisations who might be religious people but who believe that their religion doesn't need to be protected by the state, and try to get a broad coalition of groups and organisations to campaign for the repeal of this law, for the repeal of other sections of our constitution that discriminate against atheists and against non-religious people generally, and also for a secular education system and a secular society generally.
It's interesting you mentioned atheists. I think I read it on your website that the problem is that, of course, religious groups are now protected by this blasphemy law, but not the same goes for the atheists. Who will protect them if they are outraged by some statements by religious fanatics or priests or something like that?
That's right. There was a senior representative of the Catholic Church in Britain recently said that atheists are not fully human. Now, if anybody was to say that about any religious group, there would be outrage, where religious groups would be saying, you can't describe us as being not fully human because of our beliefs. Whereas religious people feel free to say things like that about atheists, and this law, this Irish blasphemy law, does not protect atheists or does not protect anybody whose fundamental beliefs are not based on religion, but just protects the beliefs of religious people.
What were the reaction of the, for example, Catholic or Muslim part of Irish public regarding this law? Are they in favor or are they not affected by it emotionally?
Most people are against the law. A lot of people wouldn't even be aware that the law has been passed, because it was passed quite some time ago, and the minister delayed about 6 months before he signed the order that made it operational. A lot of people would probably think that it's a silly law, more so than a dangerous law. But we would think that it is both silly and dangerous, and that it is important that it is repealed as soon as possible.
Do you have any maybe analysis or projections showing how lenient the judicial system will be in imposing sanctions for breaking the blasphemy law?
It's very difficult to tell. The Department of Justice seems to be hoping that the matter will just magically go away, which it's not going to. But in Ireland, you can't tell how the courts are going to interpret these types of laws. We did have a referendum in Ireland a couple of decades ago to make abortion illegal in Ireland. And at the time, it was said, look, this isn't going to make any difference in practical terms, that people will still be able to go over to England for abortions and so on. Now, the courts, surprisingly enough, in Ireland a few years ago, then there was an injunction taken by the Irish state against a raped 14-year-old girl, preventing her from going to England for an abortion under that law, which is something that nobody had expected would happen. And then the courts themselves interpreted the constitutional ban on abortion, which referred to the protecting the right to life, equal right to life of the mother and the unborn. They interpreted that as allowing abortion in certain cases if the life of the mother was at risk, including the threat of suicide. So in a roundabout way, what I'm saying is that when you pass these type of laws that are based on very ambiguous moral, metaphysical almost issues, you can't tell how the courts are going to interpret them, and the courts will not necessarily follow the intention of the people that passed the law. They will come up with whatever interpretation they choose to at the time.
So there is still hope that the modern Ireland would not go back to the Middle Ages.
I'm optimistic about that. I think that the people are much more pluralist, much more liberal, much more rational than the government is. I think that most people's religion in Ireland is a very much more moderate type of religion than it used to be 30, 40, 50 years ago. And I think that the government needs to realise that and needs to pass laws that reflect a modern pluralist society.